Hey kids, welcome to another edition of Blind Cool Tech. My name is Kevin Reeves. This is my inaugural podcast, and I got a ton of ideas cooked up for you as far as some future podcasts that I'm going to be working on. For those of you who know me, yes, I am bringing Studiography back. Unfortunately, the album is done, so I can't really do anything there, but we're going to do a lot of cool stuff in the coming months with Studiography, and just stay tuned. I got to get the feed updated and everything, but we're gonna do some stuff. Today, I wanted to kind of introduce myself and talk about what I do and what it means to me to be a creative professional and what I'm struggling to work towards. And then I want to launch into a diatribe on what I think or how I think blind people and creative professionalism can intersect. In a sense, how I think blind people can benefit from being creative professionals and what that could mean for people. And some of this came about from a conversation that I had with Tracy's son, who just moved to Nashville and is interested in being a piano tuner here. And that requires him being a freelance creative professional. He's working in the music field, and he is a freelance contractor, and I have some things to say about that, so stay tuned. First off, some of you guys know me. I've done some music stuff. People know me around the blindosphere, the blinkosphere. Can I use that? Okay, I'm going to. People know me around the blinkosphere. KevinReeves.net is my home of origin. And a lot of you guys know the tune Shine that's been kind of making its way around the podosphere, blogosphere, blinkosphere, all the other ospheres that I haven't mentioned. So for that, I'm completely grateful. I had no idea when I wrote it and I recorded it that people would be downloading the crap out of it. So thank you. You guys rock. So I am a full-time musician slash creative professional. And if we were to put it into a pie, it would be in this order. The biggest chunk of the pie, not the biggest money-making chunk of the pie, but the biggest goal that I'm shooting towards is Kevin Reeves, the singer-songwriter. So that entails putting this record out. It entailed me recording the record for the past 2 years, which I had to journey through a lot of things to get to where I'm at. And so had I not had to do that, the journey would have taken a lot less time and the record could have been out a lot sooner. But I did what I had to do to be at a place where I could record a record and make it work for me. So that involves recording a record, releasing the record, which that's at the stage that I'm at currently, and starting to tour. And I think people have a misconception about what a tour is. People think that a tour, when you say, I'm going on tour, they think tour bus and limos and huge arenas. No, a tour, if I took a weekend and I played Nashville, Tennessee, Louisville, Kentucky, Atlanta, not in any of these orders, but I had gigs booked in all of these different places, and then I played a gig back in Nashville or whatever, that's touring part of the Southeast, okay? That's considered a tour, even though it's a weekend and you're in your car, you're touring. That's a tour. You're playing a gig, you make money, you sell records, and you hopefully get more gigs. That's a tour. Then, you know, you build up to the tour bus and the limos and everything like that. And so who knows? That might happen. That might not. But we do what we can. That's the biggest chunk of the pie as far as the goals are concerned. The next size down, the next chunk of my life is my my work as a cover musician. This means that I play the music of other people. So I get paid to sit in a bar and play Margaritaville and Brown Eyed Girl and Benny and the Jets and Proud Mary. Luckily, I enjoy it. So for me to go to work for a couple of hours is completely okay. I'm okay with it. I'd rather do that than work in some call center or some kind of blindness-related factory somewhere. I'm not knocking the people that work at those places, but that's not for me. Corporate work, 9-to-5 jobs is not for me. I'm too free-spirited and would probably get fired in a week. It's just my personality. Some of us are not designed to hold down a 9-to-5 job, so we create our own jobs. The third piece of the pie, which is the smallest piece currently, but it's the potential for it to be really lucrative is great, is Kevin Reeves, the full-on creative professional. This means people come to me for anything. That would be, hey, can you transfer these files and edit them in Pro Tools, or can you do, can you play some keyboards on a session? That would include, doing voiceover work. That would include doing compositions for people. And I'll show you some of the things that I've worked on with some other projects. Some of this includes working with writers so that they take a song that's, guitar and vocal and turn it into something that's a full band feel so that they can hand it out to players and hand it around to publishers and such. That could be a very lucrative business. And it's something that I'm building towards. I'm in talks with a guy that's going to be my manager, and we're going to work on that. Those are the three main, pieces of this pie that make up me as a creative professional. And a lot of times nowadays, with the advent of the internet, creative professionals wear many different hats. I believe, though, in eliminating certain hats that you know you don't want and not doing them just because the money's there. For example, I hate mixing. It's something that I just truly do not like. I don't feel like I'm good at it. I am what they call a tracking engineer. I think the parts. I lay them down with the equipment that I have. If I don't have the equipment, I consult with people to rent something that might work for my needs. And I've done that before. And I track performances and then edit them. I'm great at editing. I feel like that's a strong point of mine. But terrible at mixing. So I just leave that to people who are much better than I. I eventually will learn to mix. Once I get some more gear that will allow me to tactily move faders and turn knobs. Because I'm a very pictorial person. I know it's bizarre, but, maybe not. Blind people have a tendency to want to grab stuff and move things with their hands. The way I mix currently is by numbers. Oh, I'm going to duck this by 2 dB, so I have to go in and type, the number of dB that I want it to go to from plus or minus whatever dB, whatever. I hate that. It's too many numbers. I hate math. I don't want to deal with it. What I'd rather do is have a console that allows me to move the fader until I hear it where I want it, regardless of what the number says. Well, later on I can look at the number and say, well, let me just make a note of that. But needless to say, mixing is a hat that I choose not to wear. You don't want me to mix your stuff. I would sabotage it. Mastering is another one. I don't have the gear to do it. I don't have the expertise. I don't have the know-how. So I wear the hats that I know that I can do. you need a session edited, I know that I can do that. If you need composition work done, or if you've got a buddy who needs to record guitar, or you need to come and record a vocal, or you need me to record a vocal as a vocalist or play some keyboards, whatever, I know that I can do those things. So it's a matter of figuring out what hats you're great at and going for it. Now, there are people that disagree with the jack of all trades, master of none. But I believe that you can master multiple things. The human mind is capable of amazing things. Why would you want to be known for one little gimmick that you're great at? While everybody might hire you for that, well, what if that gimmick or fad or shtick that you know how to do, what if that is no longer needed? Then you're not, you're not hireable anymore. So I like the concept of multiple things that you're great at and trying to, and pick a couple, three or four. You don't need 10. I'm a singer, songwriter, light bulb changer, fisherman. It does get to a point where you figure out the things you're good at and choose those and work with them. So that's what I'm doing as a creative professional. So as far as, let me play you some examples of some things that I have done just so that you get an idea of how some of this works and what the processes are here. So, for example, one of the things that I do is I do full-on sequences of music. For example, the one I'm about to play, this girl came in with nothing but the lyrics and the melody, and it was a very well-crafted melody, and I as soon as she started singing it, I had a vibe for what she was doing, and for the past 6 months had been thinking about this tune and really kind of vibing off it, and eventually we got a chance to record it. What I do is I use keyboards and I play a little guitar to create facsimiles of what real players would play. So, in a sense, the goal is to give somebody something with as realistic of a feel as possible so that when they learn the tune, they're learning it as close to the vision that we've come up with. Play this first example. The song is, I'm just going to play clips here. This song is called Meg Ryan, and it's by this girl named Julie Sparks, who I've been working with. And it's a rough mix that I did, and again, I can't stand mixing, so it's probably not that great, but here we go. So I did the everything here in my apartment with the keyboard, and she laid her vocal in on top of it right here. In this world that's so uncertain, one thing that brings true is the way I feel about you, baby. Can't get enough of you. I remember the first time I saw you, how your smile stole my heart away. All right, so that's what we call the A&R version of that. I played the first verse and the chorus. I'm working on whittling this song down. It's a bit long. And again, this is a skeleton. There's stuff we're going to put in later. But eventually the goal is to hand this, you know, the finished product off to some very well-crafted players, and they're going to be able to cop this pretty close to what I did. I'm not expecting exact fills or exact voicings, but for them to grab the vibe is important. And I think keyboards can be used to do that in a really creative way. I think a lot of people get scared when it comes to programming, and so they think about it as programming. And what happens is they quantize everything to a T. They look at it as a math problem instead of just playing and letting it breathe. Yes, this is quantized, but there are spots where I, like all the drum fills aren't, and certain bass spots are not. The Rhodes piano that you heard there is not. So the goal is to make an accurate recording, but to make it breathe and live inside of the space that you're putting it in. And keyboards can do that. It's how you use them. Unless I'm doing an electronic project, that's understandable that you're going to make something very robotic and mechanical and strange and whatever, because that's electronic music. That's the goal. I'll show you just the putting a guitar over top of this, what that sounds like. I'm skipping into this. I had it paused. Here comes the guitar solo. Just all right, so you get the idea. So again, that song is a work in progress. There are things about it that we're going to mess with and change, and the vocal's probably going to, some of that vocal's going to get recut. There are things about that vocal that I love, and I'm going to encourage her to keep. Okay, so the next project I worked on was a whole album of a guy named Daryl Boyer. He actually lived with me for a little while, and something had happened with the production company that he was working with, and his reels got removed. And I didn't think that his album that he was working on was all that good, and I told him that. Because he was working with a producer that didn't have his vision in mind. The producer had their own vision in mind for what they thought Daryl would sound like. And I'm sure that there are folks on this list who are have worked in the music industry. I know at least one, a lot of what happens is you get these artists who want to be big so bad that they'll change stuff about who they are. They'll change things about the core fiber of their being to appease a company that's going to pay for this project. So Daryl just sat back and kind of let this guy do his thing. The guy is far from brilliant. He was turning Daryl, who listens to very modern rock like Shinedown and Nickelback and things like this, turning him into almost this country rock thing, which I thought was completely inappropriate for what Daryl does. And I told him so. And I thought that his session players that they had hired were completely lifeless. And again, I had told him so because I'm very honest with the people that I care about their music. So I told him, I said, look, your reels got stolen. Life sucks. Let's make another record. I said, it's on, you know, subpar gear. The drums are going to be digital, but you can always recut them. But at least you can put out a record. You can move back home and say that you put out a record that's yours. Not anybody else's, yours. And we'll just do it. And so, in exchange for that, You know, he helped me do a ton of stuff. I mean, shuttled me to tons of gigs and just all kinds of stuff. Worked on some promotional things for me and was just great. And I worked on his record and I finished it. There are things about it I don't particularly like, but I finished it. And just show you a couple of tunes. This is kind of raucous if you're not into hard rock. Do Shuttle Past. But if you're curious, take a listen to this and check this out. This is something that we did, and you know, he had these demos all ready to go, and they had already locked them into grid mode and everything so that the tempos lined up, and all I had to do was compose over top of them. So this is just something we worked on. Now, these are rough mixes that he did. Shadows fill his face. When candle bends the truth, this empty house where no one dwells. A love has burned away. Pictures on the wall. Remind them to a song. The highs are a little much. I'm just cranking them down a tad. Well, something fade away. And some things we can't change. All right, so that's one of the tunes that we did. It's called Here With Me. You can check out his website at darylboyer.com, darylboyer.com. Brought to you by hostbaby.com. Brilliant, brilliant web hosting company. Just a couple more of these tunes. I'll skip ahead just so that you can hear some variances and things. This is a song called Shine, oddly enough. Just can't walk away. Yeah. Yeah. Won't you just shine your light on me? Won't you just blind my eyes so I can see? So, and he even did a cover tune on his album. And I'm only going to play 15 seconds or 10 seconds of it because I claim fair use. So anyway, that's the Daryl Boyer album. I wanted to just show you these things real quick to just kind of show you, give you an idea of what I do as a creative professional, and hopefully some of this didn't bore you. Before I go, and again, I've got more podcasts in the works of things that I'm gonna hopefully do. I want to talk for a second about blind people as creative professionals and as freelance workers. And I'm not going to tread lightly here because I don't do that. I am going to call a spade right now regarding rehabs, regarding voc rehabs. Most of them are backwards. Okay, and here's why I say this, and it's bizarre, my reasoning for why I think so. Most of the rehabs are backwards because I was so lucky to have the type of voc rehab counselor that I had to say to me, you know, you want to be a musician, you want to be a, you want to work in a studio or own one or do music work, by all means, go. Because I believe in what you do, I believe in your abilities, I believe in your talents. Have at it. So that is the most rare thing I have ever seen, because so many other people are saying, you are so lucky, I would give anything to be that lucky. So I can't trust voc rehab, because I there's only one person that I can trust, and that's this counselor. And I can't trust that they're, that across the board voc rehab places are going to feel the same way. Let me quantify this statement with a couple of points. For one, this is not to become a creative professional is not an excuse so that you don't have to do other things, or to be a cop out so that you're not doing other things. The only time that you want to be a creative professional, that you even want to think about it, is this reason. If you get up in the morning and there is nothing that you would rather do than whatever creative field you're going to get into, and I don't care if that's audio work, I don't care if that's set design, I don't care if you're a high partial and you want to work in Photoshop and do graphic design, whatever that is, if this is so meaningful to you that you've spent the time and you've put in the hours on your own working at what you do so that you're great, then that's the reason. I know people who say, well, I want to do this, and I would love for, you know, the blind rehab places to hook me up so that I can get some gear, and it's an excuse to get gear. Just for the record, although I had tons of support from rehab, I insisted that I took out my own loans to buy my own gear, because I wanted to do that as an act of integrity, to say, I'm not asking you to buy me gear. I'm asking you to pay for my schooling so that I can go be a music major and hang out in that environment and do my thing. Had I asked them to get me some stuff, they probably would have. And I had been talking to her, my counselor from Michigan last year. Her name is Karen Silkey, and she's brilliant. I said, you know, if I wanted to fill out a business plan to have you guys start up my business to run my studio, I would need about 10 grand worth of gear. And I had started to come up with a list of some things. Looking to upgrade the Pro Tools rig with some consoles and get a Motif rack so that I could be a little more current with some of the sounds, and just a couple of other things that I was thinking of, a Braille display so that I could do voiceovers from the vocal booth. There were some things that I was thinking of that I thought were very practical. But I didn't want the responsibility of claiming to run my own business, because that's not the hat I want to wear, so I decided not to do it. So this can't be an excuse to get free gear or to cop out of doing something, you know, to cop out of being a productive tax-paying citizen. It's a lot of work, and sometimes it's absolutely no fun, and you want to take your ball and go home. I'm going to just be straight up. None of this, I'll put a positive spin on it. I'm a very optimistic person, but I gotta be real with people, you know? Sometimes this is no fun. And it's no fun when your cable gets shut off. That happens a lot. It's no fun when you have creditors calling you because your you know, you owe back bills. That happens. That doesn't make you a bad person. So you just try the best you can. You work as hard as you can. And wherever possible, you delegate other people to help you. That's why I'm about to acquire a manager. All right, so back to my thing about rehab. This is the problem with employment for vision impaired folks. This is the biggest problem. Let me just give you an example of how some of my sighted counterparts handle employment and the desire to become a creative professional. I got a lot of friends of mine who are working in the creative field. Some are graphic designers, some are web designers, some are musicians, some are recording engineers. For them, they've made it through college, and they'll get a job of least resistance so that they can work most of the time on their work. So they'll get a Starbucks job so that they can work on their stuff. I got a friend of mine who works for Griffin Technologies on a daily basis. Griffin makes all those cool iPod deals, you know, iPod accessories, and they make the Griffin iMic, which I use on a lot. He works for them, and then at night is working on his album. It's not that simple for a blind person to go to a Starbucks or a McDonald's. And let me just say this. I wish that I could go to a McDonald's and grab a job. I would do it tomorrow just to be able to work at another little part-time gig just to kind of help pay the bills. I got no shame in my game, y'all. I'd do it tomorrow if I could. There's a sense of, hey, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And, you know, I would work at McDonald's if I had to. And I would do kind of the part-time thing and make it happen. But it's not as easy, obviously, for a blind person to walk into a place and say, can I fill out an app and turn it in? That's just the reality of it. We will eventually get there to the point where stuff is universally accessible, and we may be able to eventually do that. So the remedy right now is completely backwards. What do? And everybody can relate to this. I'm sure of it. Here's what we do. We go to a voc rehab place. Some of y'all do it in high school. Some of y'all are in high school or early college, and you're trying to think, what kind of major do I want? So you let the counselors convince you of whatever is going to pay you the most money or whatever the market demands. You know, the market really is looking for call center operators, and that's something that blind people are good at. So why don't you do that? So your vision for your life is completely out of the picture. It becomes a matter of, well, what's gonna pay? What's gonna pay the bills? Okay, I understand the need to pay the bills. I'm currently doing it. I was a computer trainer for the state of Tennessee for a while to pay some of the bills. The problem is people get kind of stuck in this comfortable concept of, well, I'm working this, you know, this job and it pays great and there's nothing else I can do. Because, not because they're blind, but because these VR counselors tell them that, well, this is what the market demands and this is what, these are the things that you're good at and whatever. These are the things that blind people can do, and this is where the accessibility is. We've got JAWS installed at this Convergys place, and you can work there. Or you go work for the industries for the blind places, which is a factory, and you work there. But you guys have to understand something. Those factories, those products aren't really being put anywhere. That's a charity case. That's not, to me at all, a job with any kind of dignity. Would I get a factory job in a sighted factory if I could, if I needed something? Absolutely. Because you're working for a company that has a product or service that's needed. You are making that happen, and there you are. Problem with these kind of industry jobs for the blind, these service jobs for the blind, is that they're set up so that you can have a job. They're not set up to fill any kind of need. They only fill a need that you have a job, but it's a charity kind of, in my opinion, It's a handout. And really, we live in the 21st century, and none of us want to be looked at as a charity case. So what do we do? How do we combat this? Well, I'll tell you how I combated it. I had one meeting with the Tennessee VR, and I never went back because I'm way more qualified to do a hell of a lot more things than what they were offering me. And their whole operation here, especially, is completely backwards, because what they do is they come up with this, oh, we're going to take 6 months, and we're going to come up with a goal-oriented, you know, report for you of what your goals are, and then we're going to spend the time to work out those goals. Problem is, they're not your goals. If you said, you know what, I want to work in a studio, I want to work in a radio station editing commercials, they can't help you with that. They don't know how. They can get you a call center job, no problem. But do you want to do that? Hey, I know people that don't mind working at call centers. If that's what you want to do, go for it. But for the people who are like, you know what, I want to be a journalist, I'm really good at Word, or I'm really good at Excel, and I want to be a CPA or whatever, I really feel like there's just something, some kind of stigma. And I bet a CPA would be really easy to get into. That's kind of a job that I'm sure that the VR folks would look at as, okay, well, that's something that we can guarantee would make some money. So the problem is they're not willing to journey with you in your life and say, what makes you tick? What makes you roll? How can we get behind it? Because they have to have a quota and report to people of, okay, this person is, you know, has employment and was able to get a job. There are some people on this list in this community that are complete creative professionals. I've met some of you on some of these chat sites and here and there and everywhere, and I commend what y'all are doing. Keep it up. You know, obviously Larry has been able to land an amazing position with APH, and has, you know, we know the name Larry Skutkan from the 80s with Text Talker. You know, he built a name for himself, and I wish I would love to hear his story about, you know, what brought him to that point of being able to. He is a creative professional. Although he's a coder, he creates products that people use. Coders are creators too. So being a programmer and designing a piece of software that fills a need is, in my opinion, to be a creative professional, and somebody could do that as a freelancer. I just wanted to get that out there, and I have this idea to start a nonprofit in the next couple of years, and I'm going to figure out how to do it. And the concept would be to sponsor really good blind folks every year, pick a couple of people to that we would put our investments behind and sponsor them to set up their own creative business or whatever it is, to set up their contracting for whatever they do. And maybe there's something already out there, but the thing is, like, I just don't think there's enough support for those of us out there who are really kind of independent free thinkers and want to kind of do our own thing despite what the rest of the so-called blinkosphere would say that the market demands. And that's, isn't that the point, as blind people, to be independent and free thinking and, hey, I want to do this, you know? If somebody woke up one day at 17 years old and said, I want to be a masseuse for this, you know, traveling musicians. I know people that are like that, and that's what they do now. I mean, if that's what you wanted to do, you have every right in the world to do that. Tracy's son has every right in the world to print up a million business cards, go around all these different places and say, hey, I'm a piano tuner. I've got 20 years of experience. Anybody interested? And we need to somehow build a blind rehab infrastructure that allows for that kind of work. How we do that, I don't know. I would love some dialogue somewhere on some of these lists about this. So anyway, I hope you guys have enjoyed this kind of rambling on. As the, you know, the next podcasts that come by that I'm going to do will be a little more, not formal, but a little more organized. This is just off the cuff. And so hopefully I haven't gone way too long. But anyway, you guys have a great one. Hopefully I've opened some good dialogue. Check me out at www.kevinreeves.net. There you can grab the album. It's going to be available in the next couple of days as a digital download. You can currently pre-order it. So check me out. And I won't play my music on this podcast. I'm not going to do that. So if you want to hear my music, go to kevinreeves.net. Excuse me, I got the hiccups now. If you want to hear my music, go to kevinreeves.net. And check out darylboyer.com. Shoot him an email, put a link on the, or sign his guest book. Tell him you heard him on a podcast. And I'm out of here. Have a good one, y'all.